compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Patrick, my boy, the whole thing is to keep working. And pretty soon, well, they'll think you're good.
Words of wisdom, Lloyd. Words of wisdom. Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. The number is 888-914-9149. You can call that number now. We'll get you on the air. 888-914-9149. How about George in Berwyn, Illinois? Good morning, George.
Oh, good morning, Patrick. We got through. Patrick, I was hoping you can help clear up a matter, at least
I'll
for
try.
Me. Okay, well, I don't agree with it by any means, but on Facebook, there, and I'm hoping that it's only this group of people, it's not spreading. On Facebook, there are people claiming to be pro-choice Catholics. They believe in abortion. How is that possible to be Catholic and be pro-choice at the same time? And what type of advice can you give me to give to them to say it doesn't work that way?
Yeah. Well, they're slaves to their political ideology, chances are. They're
Come
slaves
on, man.
To the
Okay.
They're slaves to the Democratic Party, chances are. So, it's foolishness to say I'm a Catholic, I believe in Jesus, I love God, etc., but I'm okay with slaughtering unborn children. You can't square that circle with a straight face.
No.
So, I pity them. I really do pity them because I want to see everybody go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. And so if somebody is prattling on about being a pro-choice Catholic, the overriding emotion I feel for that person is pity and disgust too.
Right.
But I hope that in time they'll get their minds right and get right with God so that they will not die in the state of mortal sin.
Correct. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So, of course, the advice that you can leave with this group is there is no such thing as pro-choice Catholics, to sum it up.
Well, there are. There are. I mean, just like there are Judas priests. I mean, Judas was the first Judas priest, isn't he? And he was one of the 12 apostles. He was handpicked, the Lord's inner circle. And what did he do? He betrayed the Lord. So sure, I mean, there are, in that sense, there are plenty of so-called pro-choice Catholics, but it's cognitive dissonance that they don't seem to be aware of. If you're going to really be a follower of Jesus and you really are honestly seeking to live the gospel, well, being in support of the killing of unborn children is not part of the gospel. It's anti-gospel. It's anti-Christ. So just as the devil entered into Judas at the Last Supper where he was going off to betray Jesus, we're told that the devil entered into him and he became the first Judas priest. I'm not talking about the band, by the way. What an unfortunate name for a band. There are so-called pro-choice Catholics, but they're just fooling themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because they're enslaved to their political party. That's all.
Right. All right. I know that just isn't possible. I was just looking for advice to give to them that this is not part of our Catholic faith.
Yeah. So, I would say woe to you. And you need to repent of this sin because, you know, if you don't and you die in the state of unrepentance, promoting abortion, et cetera, well, have a nice eternity. I don't want to see you go to hell, but I mean, only you can change. Like Smokey the Bear, only you can prevent forest fires. True. Only you can prevent you from going to hell.
Yeah. All right. You know, it was just getting frustrating because this abortion debate off the internet, it's to the point where if I say it's black, they're going to say it's white. And I'm pretty sure that goes with a lot of us.
Yeah, I get you, George. I totally do. But you know, my personal policy on this issue is I'm not going to waste time with people like that. I'm just not going to waste time.
Yeah. All right, Patrick. Well, thank you for the advice, and thank you for your guys' show, Revelant Radio. We listen to it all the time, so, and the
That's
advice
awesome.
We get.
That's awesome. Well, we appreciate it, George. We appreciate it. We revel in your love for Relevant Radio. We love it. Thank you, George. Hey, we have some audio, Cyrus. I want to play this, and this is by Bill Maher, yeah. Bill Maher is one of those guys who is just like he thinks long and hard before coming up with the wrong answer over and over and over again. I mean, there's very little that he believes that I would agree with, and probably very little that I believe that he would agree with. But amazingly, even a blind hog can find an acorn now and then. Amazingly, he said something on his show that I thought, you know what, I've got to give him credit. Because he's right. Not that he's agreeing with me, but he's pointing something out. So who does he have on the show in this clip? He's got Piers Morgan and someone else. Some lady. I have no idea who she is.
Yeah, I'm not sure who that is.
And they're talking about abortion. And this is pretty startling coming from Bill Maher, who, as I say, tends to be wrong just about every time. But he got it right this time. It's interesting because he's still wrong. He's still wrong, right. But he's right. For the wrong reason, it's startling. He's talking about abortion. Let's listen.
Not if you believe it's murder. You know, that's why I don't understand the 15-week thing. Or the Trump's plan is, let's leave it to the states. You mean, so killing babies is okay in some states? Like, I can respect the absolutist position. I really can. I scold the left on when they say, oh, you know what? They just hate women, people who aren't pro-life. Pro-choice. They don't hate women. They just made that up. They think it's murder. And it kind of is. I'm just okay with that. I am. I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world. I'm sorry, we won't miss you. That's my position on that. What?
That's quite harsh, Bill.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not
is
sure
that not your
much.
Position if you're pro-choice?
Isn't that mainly because you don't like children? I mean...
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
No. I mean... But if you are, you said you're pro-choice. Mm. That's your position too.
Yeah. I mean, it's startling in the clarity.
Yeah,
where he says,
and Piers Morgan is just, he's nodding. Yes, I'm pro-choice.
He does the British thing. Mm. That's a British way of saying yes. So how do you like it here? Mm. Anyway. Yeah, it's the startling clarity. He says, you know, I can respect their position. Because he says they say it's murder. It's not that they don't like women. That's ridiculous. They believe that it's murder to take the life of an innocent unborn child. And they're, how does he say it? They're kind of right. It's not kind of right. They are right.
They're right. And
yeah.
But, and I agree with them.
But
I'm
okay
with
it, he says. Yeah.
Yeah. They think it's murder. And it kind of is. I'm just okay with that.
Okay.
The world has 8 billion people. We're not going to miss you. He's saying that to an unborn baby. So, yeah, I mean, it's a startling comment. It's to his credit. I have to give credit where credit is due. He's saying the truth. He's still clinging to abortion, but at least he's honest about it. It is, yeah, when you get right down to it, it is murder, but I'm okay with it. What a horrible thing to say. I'm pretty sure that will come up on his exit interview when the time comes. I sure hope Bill Maher has a conversion before that happens. I really do. Piers Morgan, you too. Come on. You're a smart guy. We were just full guys. No, he's a smart guy. But they're getting it wrong. But I thought that was worth bringing to your attention. Cyrus, do you mind reposting that? I think it'd be good for people to see that.
Do it right now.
All right, cool. 888-914-9149. How about Katie in Philadelphia? Hi, Katie. Welcome.
Good morning. So I have an interesting dilemma. Okay. My son, who is very devout, is getting married in the fall. He has one cousin. And I said to him, I said, well, you know, it would really be nice if you had your cousin do a reading at your wedding. And he kept hemming and hawing. And, you know, and I'd ask him, I'm like, well, have you decided? And he came back to me and he said, I can't have her in the wedding because she's not a practicing Catholic. I said, okay, that's fine. I respect that. Well, then her mother, my sister, is his godmother.
Okay.
But she was married in a Catholic church, got divorced, never got an annulment, got remarried, you know, by some, you know, preacher, whatever, and is now a widow. And so I think she thinks, and she doesn't practice her faith at all. So she says to me all the time, she said, when am I going to be asked to do a reading? When am I going to be asked to do a reading? And I have no idea of what to answer her. I don't want to hurt her feelings and say, you're not, because clearly if your daughter wasn't asked, and I don't know, I just don't know what to say to her.
Why not try that? I know it's a bit bold, but why not be bold if nothing else has worked? You might say, well, when are you going to come back to the Catholic Church? What?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, if you want to read at Mass, that's great. And I understand there are times when non-Catholic folk will be invited to read a reading at the wedding, and these things are permissible. But more important would be, do you really want to die in the state of separation from the church? You really, when the time comes, and I hope you live a long and happy life, sister of mine, but when the time comes and you have to go from this life into the next life, do you really want to be separated from Jesus and the sacraments in the church? You want to die in that state? Why not come back and get back on track? Get back right with God again. Go to confession. Start receiving the Holy Eucharist. Get your life back on track again. Well, I don't believe in that. So, well, okay, fair enough. But eventually,
I guess they just have to say, you know what, because you're not practicing. I guess they just have to, you know, but I don't think it should be me. I think it should be my adult son. But, you know, she said, I am his godmother. Well, yeah, but you're not doing anything godly.
I don't know if I would pin this on your son.
Yeah, I guess if
I were you, I mean, who am I to tell you what to do? But my heartfelt advice, Katie, would be, she's your sister and you have a relationship that predates your son. And she's asking you, I mean, she's literally asking you, so what better opportunity could there ever be than to say, well, you know, as long as you're asking, let me share with you, why not?
Okay.
And how it breaks my heart, because I'd love for you to do things like that. We would be overjoyed if you could do that. But it pains me to know that you are living in estrangement from Jesus and the church and the sacraments. And I would do anything. I'd crawl over broken glass if I could do anything to help you come back to the practice of your Catholic faith. In other words, answer her question in a loving way and turn it back to her. Because ultimately, this situation is one that she can remedy. And maybe nobody in her life has had the chutzpah to tell it to her like that, except for you.
Right. Okay. I will. I will find some chutzpah and tell her that, because I definitely think it's important. But she, you know, she every time I talk to her, she brings it up, and I'm like, Well, and I think part of it is because she's really nosy and she wants to come to the rehearsal dinner and partake in the festivities, and she's not coming to the rehearsal dinner because she's not part of the wedding party. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I think she wants to just go to the party and doesn't really care, but. Well, I appreciate your time, Patrick. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Katie. You're welcome. And lead with love. Obviously, you're a loving person. I can tell. Lead with love. It's all love-based. But ultimately, you're sharing with her, I'm so concerned for you because I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to be happy. I want you to know the love of Jesus again. I want you to be in the state of grace again, not because there's anything for me in it, but for your sake, you're my sister and I love you and I want this for you. And I feel so sad that you're living in this kind of estrangement. I realize I'm repeating myself, Katie, but sometimes rehearsing things can be helpful, right?
But I need to hear it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
I'll pray for you and for her. You got it, Katie. Thank you. I'll just pause here for a second. Family, sometimes they won't hear it from you, but sometimes they will, and there's no way to know for sure until you try. So don't hesitate, even though it can be weird and prickly and, you know, you're afraid of doors being slammed in your face and people hanging up on you. And I would say push those fears off to the side and remember that maybe it may be that if you don't say something, there is no one else in that sister or brother or cousins or sons or daughters or parents' life who will tell them the truth. So what have you got to lose? Maybe some ruffled feathers? Okay, well, that happens. But just think of the sower of the seed parable that Jesus gives. And the sower of the seed, that's you, by the way, doesn't know what kind of ground the seed is landing on. Is it shallow soil? Is it rocky soil? Are the birds going to come and eat the seeds? Is it rich soil? Maybe. But the sower of the seed is not obliged to inspect the soil and just, you know, make sure, well, I'm going to put it on this kind of soil. He or she is just out there spreading that seed every which way. So I would propose just do that. Just don't count the cost. Don't calculate the possible difficulties. Don't do a cost-benefit analysis. Sometimes it's good to do that, but I would say when it comes to sharing the truth with your loved ones, don't hesitate, because it could be that's all that's waiting for them to have a breakthrough. And if you don't do it, you'll never know. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Tony now in Ceres, California. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, good morning, Patrick. I just wanted your comments. This verse came up and I shared it with in a Bible study. I just wanted your comments. It's Genesis chapter 4, 6 to 7, the advice that God gives to Cain.
Let's see.
I think it's just pertinent advice. Yeah.
Okay. So let's start in verse 3. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel, his brother, brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it." And then verse 8, Cain said to Abel, his brother, "Let us go out to the field." And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Okay, so that being the passage, what verse in particular do you want to talk about?
So just the advice that God gives to Cain, like you don't have to do what you're going to do. You know, God knows everything and he knows what he's going to do, but right. He gives them a way out. And just, you know, I just like that verse, you know, whenever we're dealing with anger, you know, keep your chin up and don't give into it. Kind of similar to the comments you're saying to Joe, you know, the custody of the eyes I just wanted to share that with you and, you know, and the listeners, just that advice that God gives as far as anger.
Yeah. So let's just look at it quickly here. So when he says, if you do well, no, he said for verse 6, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. It's desirous for you, but you must master it. And of course, that's a quote unquote prophetic way of identifying what was about to happen. So Cain could have avoided this sin if he had, you know, well, okay, Lord, I'm angry with my brother because he seems to be excelling in this area, but I know you'll accept me if I'm faithful and if I do my best. The alternative, of course, is to act on the anger and kill your brother, which he wound up doing. But if that's the point you're making, yeah, I concur with that.
Yeah, I just think it's a helpful verse for myself and anyone that needs to hear it. Like, you know, just do your best. Things might not, they're not always going to go our way, but, you know, chin up.
And chin up, that's right. I love that phrase, chin up. One step in front of, one foot in front of the other, siempre adelante, as St. Junipero Serra would like to say, always forward. I'll be right back. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. I hope you'll join me this June for sponsor Christendom College's Summer Consortium. I'll serve as MC for the weekend, celebrating the legacy of St. John Paul II. Register at jp2weekend.com. That's JP, the number 2, weekend.com.
I don't know if there's any other way to say this, Patrick, but you make me want to be a better man.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
Now that's a good song right there, Cyrus. Put a check mark next to it, please.
Will do.
Yeah. I like the energy. It's consistent with the energy of the Patrick Madrid Show.
Sure is. Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, I've got a note here from Zachary down in Georgia. He says, when our bodies are reunited with our souls in heaven, will people who choose to get tattoos during their earthly lives also be able to receive their bodies with the same tattoos in heaven? Or will our glorified bodies lose all of our tattoos in heaven? I am pretty confident, Zachary, that there are no tatted people in heaven. And if they're tatted in this life, and you know, when the time, I mean, of course, they're disembodied souls right now. But when we receive our bodies back on the last day, the day of the general judgment, that your glorified, resurrected body will not have any tats on it or piercings. I'm thinking of this because in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, we're told, he who was seated on the throne said, I make everything new. Look, I make everything new. And it seems to me that Jesus there is referring not only to everything else, but also to our bodies. So I'm going to go with that on this issue. No, I don't think that we will see any tatted people at all in heaven because the body will be renewed back to its original perfection.
But I dropped a lot of Benjamins on these tats, Patrick.
Sorry. You lose. You're not going to have those in heaven. So the money you spent on the getting the Patrick Madrid Show logo tattooed.
Now you tell me.
Yeah, I know. You didn't ask me before I told you. So you're Zachary who wrote to me. I get it. Okay. Well, no, I'm afraid not. I'm going to go with that one. And if we're all in heaven, when the time comes and you see people with tats, then you can come over and tell me I was wrong. But I don't think I will be. 888-914-9149. How about Christine now in Kansas City? Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, Patrick. This weekend, on Saturday, my daughter and son-in-law dropped off their two children, one almost nine, one six and a half, okay, to stay the night with us.
Okay.
And my grandkids were coloring at the kitchen table. My daughter's talking in the other room with my husband, and I was just talking with my son-in-law, and somehow we were just mentioning a nephew who's been trying in treatment for alcoholism and stuff, okay, several times. And he disclosed to me that our daughter drinks a lot.
How old is your daughter again? Or how old is your daughter? You didn't tell me.
Okay. She's 36.
Okay.
And he stated that about a year ago, she's tried counseling, but it didn't work for her. And I don't know whether to try to figure out a time just to meet with my daughter separately, mm-hmm, or if I can recommend resources to my son-in-law without my daughter knowing. I don't know if she'd be angry at her husband for bringing this up. My daughter was born and raised Catholic. She was not married in the Catholic Church.
Okay.
They've been married about 10 years. They were married by justice of the peace. Her husband, parents have been divorced for quite a while. They did not have any kind of, religion growing up.
Okay.
But he seems, I've always talked my grandkids about God and Christ and have given them books and other, mm-hmm, talks and things about Jesus. And so they
I have
know
a few
about
thoughts.
God, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I do have a few thoughts.
Oh.
I recognize that you need to be sensitive about how you broach the topic with her in such a way that she doesn't, mm-hmm, you know, turn against her husband or something like that. Perhaps if you let him know that you'd like to talk with her and maybe he can let her know you know, I mentioned this to your mom and she would like to talk to you. You know, that way it softens, I don't want to say the blow, but it, you know, it, it softens things a little bit. Hopefully it will. There are a few resources that are readily available. If you think that she'd be willing to read a book, and maybe she will, one I've recommended before is called Dying for a Drink, What You and Your Family Should Know About Alcoholism. And I think that could be a very helpful book, not just for her, but also for you as well. The author's last name is Spickard, S-P-I-C-K-A-R-D, co-authored with Barbara, is it Anderson, I think? I forget. But that would be one if you think she'd be willing to read that. Matt Talbot was a famous, he's now since died, but he was an American who struggled with alcoholism for the longest time. And I don't know if he has been beatified. He may have been beatified, but that would be a story maybe to share with her about Matt Talbot and his struggle with alcoholism. It could be even a person to ask for intercession and ask for prayers in heaven to help her. I would also recommend an organization, Christine, called Catholic in Recovery. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
Okay, so Catholic in Recovery, it's either .com or .org, one of the two, Catholic in Recovery, and it is a 12-step program that's parish-based that can help people not just addicted to alcohol, but also pornography and drugs and other things like that. Mm-hmm. So there's no shame. It's, you know, it's like any other meeting, an AA meeting, but it takes place at a Catholic parish, and it's Catholic-focused, Jesus-focused, and it uses the 12-step approach to help people overcome these addictions. That could also be very helpful for her. Okay.
Okay. You know, we were supposed to, they live about a half hour away from us, and she had mentioned before they dropped the kids off and stuff the day before that, oh, you know, we'll drop the kids off, and then maybe when you bring them back home, we can just meet up. There's a Catholic church right by our house that has an 11 a.m. Mass on Sunday, and we can just, because I've been kind of wanting to check it out. But then she backed out of it Sunday.
Yeah. Well, poco a poco, as they say. I wouldn't try to rush things.
No,
but
yeah.
Little by little. Maybe try those resources and see if you get a little bit of progress with that. And it sounds like if she's, there's no way for me to be able to know, of course, but if her life is spinning out of control, doesn't sound like it is. If she's not able to function properly as a mother and a wife and whatever capacities she's got responsibility for, it may not be that big of a problem yet. But if she's on the road of alcoholism, it could become a big problem, as you already know. So maybe try these things and see what happens. Especially, I think the CatholicInRecovery.com could be a very comfortable setting for her, especially if she's interested in going to Mass and things like that. That could be a very easy transition for her to sort of ease into that group and then start working that plan. Give it a try. I hope it's helpful, Christine. I really do. Thank you. Let's go now to Rosie in Lodi, California. Good morning, Rosie.
Yes, good morning, Patrick. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've been really desperate because my husband, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
you. Oh, okay. I've been very desperate because my husband has been very, just hearing the lady before me on her daughter, he's been drinking a lot, and it's not the first time that it happens this way, that it takes him days, weeks for him to get out of it.
What do you mean? Like he goes on a bender where he gets drunk and stays drunk for days or weeks?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So he's got a real problem. Why don't you check in with CatholicInRecovery.com? Do you have a pen? You could write that down.
Yes.
Okay. So
what is it?
Their website is CatholicInRecovery.com.
CatholicInRecovery.com. Okay.
Yeah. And I would, you know, you can get in touch with them, but I would see if he would be willing to start going to these meetings.
Okay. Yes. I mean, he started on the 28th of March and it just hasn't stopped.
And how old is he?
He's 48.
Okay. Has he been drinking a lot for a long time?
He goes on and off. This one, it was because he decided to go with his friends, and I was kind of scared of him going because it's happened in the past, but I kind of said, okay, I'm going to give it a try. But that day that he was supposed to leave, I was kind of scared, and I even told him, you know what, I would rather you miss the ticket and just not go. And he's like, no, I should be fine. And then he comes back and it's just like a nonstop. And what makes it worse is that I don't get support from his family. They kind of blame it on me because, I don't know. I mean, it's just so hard.
Yeah.
And we have three boys, 13, 10, and 8. And I try to do the best of me so that they can be okay. And I talk to them and I tell them that everything's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I am a school teacher, and him not being able to function, I've been sick too. So, I mean, I'm off.
What do you mean sick? Sick, like with an illness sick?
Just allergies, infections in my throat, ear, and...
No, it's okay. I wasn't sure if you were alluding to alcoholism yourself, but I get it. So you have other illnesses. Okay.
Yes, I suffer from anxiety. Mm-hmm. So my anxiety level and panic attacks, they have been off the roof. So the doctor has given me time from work. And I mean, taking the kids because he's not being responsible.
Is he going to work? Is he reporting for work? Is he earning a paycheck?
No.
So he's just checked out of work?
He talked to his supervisor, and she told him to take some time off. But, I mean...
Do you have income?
Yes.
Okay. So he's on, like, a disability leave?
Not necessarily. He's she knows that he has his struggles once in a while.
No, what I mean is, if he's not working... How are you feeding your family? How are you paying the rent or the mortgage?
Oh, he has a monthly check, and I have my monthly checks as well.
Okay, so he's not working, but he's still getting paid.
Yes. He has like vacation time that he can take.
That's going to run out pretty soon, isn't it?
Yes. And I'm just like to the point, I mean, the previous days he would tell me like, I need a drink, please go buy it. And I did, but then I stopped because I was like, I'm just feeding him into this too.
Yeah, you can't do that.
So then I stopped and he went, but he talked.
Is he violent at all? Does he hit you or the boys?
No.
Does he get angry or is he just sort of does he just fall asleep?
He does. He does get angry easier. And he talks to his family like up till 2 a.m. He kind of uses an excuse. He has a brother in prison. He uses that as an excuse. But I have two brothers, a sister and a brother that are deceased. And it's like I tell him, you can see your brother. I can't see my siblings anymore. And I don't feel the support from his family.
Yeah. It sounds like a messy, messy situation. And whatever is going on with him, there probably is something under the surface that, I mean, alcoholism, of course, under the surface, that seems pretty obvious, but there may be other issues as well. So how about this? Why don't you start with that? Get, you know, check in with CatholicInRecovery.com, ask for their advice, encourage your husband to start going to their meetings at the local parish, get their materials. But he's got to pull out of this slump because, you know, when the vacation time runs out and there's no more paycheck, that's where things really start to seize up. You don't want that. And he's got to get back to work. He's got to get his life on track. And these are steps he can take to start moving in that direction. So why not start there?
Okay. I totally appreciate you taking my call.
You're welcome. I wish things were not so difficult, but There's always hope and encouragement. And I have a feeling that the people at Catholic in Recovery are going to be able to assist you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, Rosie. Hang in there. Hang in there. Boy, oh boy. Hmm. All God's people, with all the problems, we have to pray for them and give them good resources. I think CatholicInRecovery.com is a great resource. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Thanks to network sponsor PushPay. PushPay offers parishes a platform for tracking donations and sacraments, overseeing schedules, mobile apps to help manage your administrative load, and much more. Info at relevantradio.com/pushpay. That's relevantradio.com/pushpay.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
All right. Josh Raymond has come back into the studio, which means we have another quick update about the upcoming Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis this July. Josh, thanks for stopping by.
Hey, Patrick. Always good to talk with you. And I'm really excited to be able to be there. I was listening to Preston when he was on with you last hour, and he was saying, you know, he's very excited to meet all the people that are going to be traveling and, you know, part of the Relevant Radio kind of experience, the sub-experience of the of the overall National Eucharistic Congress. And it got me thinking about, there was this one time where my wife and I were traveling across the country. We were driving from east to west, and we were passing through Montana, and this is years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And my wife has some family that lives in the Billings area of Montana, and she set up for us to stay with her aunt and uncle there, and I'd never met them before. And when we got there, when we pulled into their driveway, went into their house, you know how there's that difference between family versus friends when you stay with them?
Yeah.
Even though I'd never met them before, there was that instant just, oh, this is family. You could feel that connection there. That's not like, oh, even if they're good friends that you know really well, you just have a better, I don't know even how to put it into words, that that difference between a family relationship versus
what do they
the
say?
Friends.
Blood is thicker than water or something like that.
Right, right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So now I guess that's just kind of what I expect to have, that same sort of experience there at the National Eucharistic Congress, all of us being brothers and sisters, you know, grafted in to the body of Christ.
Yeah, that's for sure. And it's going to be a big family event.
Big family event.
How many people, what's the max that people, I mean, what's the maximum number of people who could fit into this space if we max it out?
Yeah, I don't know the exact number. It's going to be somewhere in the realm of 80,000 people that I think they could fully load in.
Yeah.
And I think because it wraps up on a Sunday, we might see that, you know, Saturday night, Sunday morning for people who aren't able to be there for all 5 days. If you can be there for all 5 days, for this National Eucharistic Congress, I'd very much encourage you to do that, because each day builds upon the next. So you get the full experience. You get to hear how each talk and the themes that are brought forward in the early days, they really connect and lead into those final days there. But yeah, you know, again, back to your question of numbers, probably around 70 to 80,000 people is what we might see that Saturday night, that Sunday morning.
Mamma mia, that's a lot of pizza. That's a lot of food to prepare for all God's people like that. That's going to be fun. And as you know, Josh, there's so many people who listen to this program and all the other programs at Relevant Radio who talk about a nice perk for going to, we're going there for Jesus. We're going there for the Eucharistic Congress. That's the focus. He is the focus. But what a nice little perk on the side that you'll get to meet and see people you only hear on the radio. That's going to be neat.
It is, yeah. It's always interesting to meet the people that you've been listening on the radio, you know, because you've got this, even if you know what they look like, you've got this kind of mental image, and then you meet them in person, and, oh, right. They do look a little different, but that's okay.
Yeah, sometimes more than a little. So as people, and we heard from Preston last hour that things are really starting to sell out. And I think you mentioned that before. So just in the waning moments of this program, what is your advice for people who are maybe on the fence still? What would you recommend?
Right. Yeah. If you've been thinking about it, you've been contemplating, or, you know, it's one of those, it's on your to-do list and you just haven't gotten around to it, don't put it off any longer. We started out, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago with several hundred rooms that we had as part of the relevant radio block of rooms that you can stay with us, you can travel with us. And it's actually probably a better rate on the rooms, the lodging that you'll get there in Indianapolis than you can get any place else. But we're down to less than 90 of those rooms left. We've seen hundreds go so far, less than 90 to go. So the best thing you can do is go to relevantradio.com or go on the Relevant Radio app, and you'll see where you can click on a button or you can tap it on the app where you can learn more information. And it'll give you a couple different options. One is you can book now. If you click on that option, that lets you fill in a number of fields with your information, and you can get a customized travel package. And it's customized because, you know, some people are coming from Los Angeles or San Francisco or Seattle. Some people are coming from New York or Philadelphia or wherever you might be living down in Texas. Mm-hmm. So it does have to be customized to you. Fill the form out and somebody will get back to you as quick as they can. And they'll give you all the information that you need so you can know, you know, how to plan to attend the National Eucharistic Congress. If you just want to learn more about the National Eucharistic Congress, then there is a learn more button there as well. You can find out about the schedule. You can learn all the different things that are happening, including Drew, you and Father Rocky, Patrick. The three of you are going to be presenting a breakout session, one of the smaller sessions that's going to be happening on the, I think it's the Friday during that schedule.
Sounds right.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I always enjoy meeting our listeners. So, yes, I'll be there. Drew will be there. Father Rocky will be there. You'll be there. Cyrus will be there. It'll be wonderful to have a chance to meet all of you who are listening. So you heard the man, relevantradio.com. You'll see the information for the Eucharistic Congress there. Are any of them totally out now, or do we have a few left of each of the different packages, Josh?
We do have available any of the packages that you see there. They're available. I will say that breakout session I just mentioned, I know that, gosh, this was probably going back a month or two ago, already 2,000 people had signed up for it. I don't know what the latest number is, but that might be at capacity or really close. So if you want to get into that session on Friday with Patrick Madrid, with Drew Mariani, with Father Rocky, that's the one that I know is going to be really close to being at capacity. You should sign up for that immediately if you haven't.
Excellent point. And all of that's available at relevantradio.com.
That's exactly right.
Well, great. Anything else, Josh, before we have to wrap it up?
Other than, just let's make this a big event for the church, for our Lord present in the Eucharist. And like you said, look forward to seeing all the Relevant Radio family there.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks for stopping by for the update, Josh.
Thanks, Patrick.
Appreciate that. I just want to bring a quick bit of news that broke this morning. There was I don't know for sure, but I think he might be Coptic Orthodox. There was a bishop of that church, I believe, in Sydney, Australia, who was attacked during the celebration of the Divine Liturgy by a knife-wielding man shouting Allahu Akbar. And the video is available because they were live streaming this Divine Liturgy. And the man walks up to the altar. This is at Good Shepherd Church in Wakeley, which is a suburb of Sydney, apparently. And he stabbed the priest. The priest survived. The bishop, I should say, survived. And I believe there were even some people in the congregation who were also stabbed as well. And last I could see, he had the perpetrator had barricaded himself in a church, that church, but I don't know at this point whether or not that has been diffused. So this is the second lethal stabbing, I should say the second stabbing, one that was lethal, that took place within the last week, and it was at a mall And I think maybe 5 or 6 people were killed in that one. So this is one that happened for us, at least in the United States, this morning. And so that's an ongoing story. I wanted to bring it to your attention. Not because it's pleasant, but because this is an example of people who have hatred for the faith. And sometimes they do insane things like this. So let's keep everybody involved in our prayers. Also, before I go back to the phones, I have a note here from Lysandra. And she is listening in the New Jersey, New York area. And she says, Patrick, I'm a Catholic who's also a Democrat. That doesn't mean I'm pro-abortion. And I find it insulting that you would put us all in the same bucket and judge us. The Democratic Party has done more for the middle class than the Republicans, and that's why I've been a supporter. Okay, I'll pause there. Well, okay, I didn't say that, though. I was taking a call, Lysandra, from a gentleman who was asking about Catholics who are pro-abortion. And I said about them. Now, this doesn't describe you, obviously. If you're not pro-abortion, this doesn't describe you. But I wasn't referring to all Democrats. I was referring specifically to Catholics who support abortion. And I said that I believe it's because they're enslaved to their political party. And I said the Democrats. So for them, I think if the shoe fits, wear it. And for them, it does. Now, that may not apply to you, but I would ask you, how do you square being in support of a party that may be doing a lot of great for the middle class, but is also doing a lot of harm to the unborn children by supporting abortion? How do you square that? I don't think I could. In fact, I know I couldn't. So then she goes on and talks about Donald Trump and, you know, all of that. I don't want to get into that. I'm not here to talk about Donald Trump or any of that stuff. But she says, I'm a cradle Catholic. I left during college years, like many, but I came back. I'm very devoted to my faith. I wish you wouldn't be so judgmental at times, but it's your right, I guess. Well, thank you for at least understanding that point, Lysandra. It is a judgment call that I'm making, but I think it's warranted. And I would humbly, in a heartfelt way, encourage you to just think about this. I'm not trying to get you to become a Republican or anything like that. I'm honestly disgusted with both parties for somewhat different reasons, but I am not here as a partisan player. I'm not interested in political parties. I'm not. I'm really not. But I would say for you, think about if you're really a follower of Jesus. You say you are. I have no reason not to believe you. Doesn't it seem strange that you would be beholden to a political party that actively, vociferously, at every step, implacably promotes the killing of innocent unborn children? I mean, whew. You know, we all have to answer for our lives at some point. We all have to have an exit interview. I will, you will, we all do. But man, oh man, I wouldn't want that on my karmic record, so to speak, because how are you going to explain that to Jesus when the time comes? I don't get it. So with all respect, Lysandra, I'm grateful for your email. I appreciate it. I wasn't talking about all Democrats. I was talking about pro-abortion Catholics. So please understand that nuance. And I'm hopeful that this one-sided conversation, well, I guess it's two-sided because I read your email, but I hope that it's food for thought. And I appreciate that. Let's go now to Kevin in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Hi, Kevin.
Hi there. By the way, you and Pat, you and Cyrus rock.
Well, thank you. Are you ready to rock?
I have a question.
All
what
right.
did Jesus mean when he said, turn the other cheek?
Well, I think literally he says, if somebody slaps you on one side of the face, turn the other cheek. I mean, I think it's a figurative statement. If you're asking me, what does he mean by that? I think he means that you bear insults and injury patiently. Not in every situation, but as a paradigm to strive for. I think that's the essence of what he meant. And I would say in a way similar to how Jesus also said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. I don't think he meant that literally. In fact, I'm certain he didn't mean it literally. And I think that the turn the other cheek is intended to be understood in a similar way. Because how often do you or anyone really get slapped in the face? Probably never. So I think he's referring to bearing injury and insult in a forgiving and meek way. I think that's what he means. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, I think that's a good summary. I do know some in my family use it as an excuse to avoid confrontation. So it can be 100% of the time they avoid confrontation. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I think we're all human. If somebody verbally or physically attacks you, the tendency is not to turn the other cheek. The tendency is to defend yourself or fight back. And there's a time when I suppose that's the right thing to do. But to bear insults patiently is a virtue. And Jesus is the paradigm of that virtue, isn't it? Isn't he? If only there were more time, Kevin. I apologize, but there we go. And my apologies to all of you who are holding. Do me a favor, call me tomorrow, and we'll get you on the air with your comment or question. If not tomorrow, call me the next day or the day after that. And until then, I'll pray for you. Please pray for me. God bless you.